The Dice Man Cometh!
If you've ever wanted to conquer the universe, save someone from a burning building, or harvest corn before the Mayan end of days, all while sitting around a table with mates, possibly without pants on, then this is the show for you. The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. My name is Trent.
And I'm Mark, and I must tell everyone, I do have pants on.
Much to my disappointment, I have to say. What's coming up this week?
This week, we are going to talk about what we've been playing. We're going to do a review of Space Cadets and its follow-up, Space Cadets Dice Duel. We're going to talk about that gaming phenomenon, Board Game Geek. We're going to talk about gaming with our kids. And we have a special guest in the studio. His name is Niall. We'll be trying to shut him up, but I don't reckon we'll succeed. All that and more coming up after this track.
Made in Japan with history on The Dice Men Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Trent and Mark each and every Wednesday, your weekly dose of board gaming and card gaming nerdiness.
And Trent, we've got a special guest in the studio today.
I can't help but notice that there is a third man taking up the oxygen in this tiny, tiny room.
A smiling young gentleman over here by the name of Niall. How are you, Niall?
Good evening. How's it going?
Yeah, really well. Have you been playing much lately?
I have been playing so much lately.
Yeah. Well Niall would have been because he's a member of HOGS, the Hobart Gaming Society.
Oh, of course he is.
Part of our committee. And I guess the reason why we've got him in here is, A, we like him.
And B, I'm leaving soon.
You're leaving us?
Yeah. I'm sorry to break it to you, like, right now and not beforehand. No, right at this very moment. No, I'm leaving for Canberra soon, which, you know, on one hand, it's really sad because I'm going to say goodbye to all you guys. On the other hand, CanCon's coming up soon,
yeah,
so I think it's a fair trade-off.
Mm, and we'll talk about CanCon in a couple of moments. But first, what have we been playing over this last week? Mark?
Yeah, look, I played a card game called Smash Up. It's from 2012 by a guy called Paul Peterson, and he refers to it as a shuffle building game. So it's not a deck building game. You're taking two decks of 20 cards and you're shuffling them together, and that makes your playing deck. And what you do is you take two factions. So there's like pirates, aliens, robots.
So you can have alien pirates.
Yeah, well, I had dinosaur pirates, in fact.
There's a bear faction. It's just bears.
Bears?
Just bears.
Bear riders, I think, weren't they?
No, there was a card called Bear Rider, but it's literally just bears.
Are we talking about bears or large, well-groomed, hairy men?
Both,
I think. You know which one.
Okay, all right, sorry.
And so you take your two factions, you mix the deck together, and your deck is made up of two types of cards. You've got minions, so creatures that do stuff, and you've got actions, which do stuff to the minions.
Now, I saw you, because you guys were playing this together.
Yeah, no, I played.
Now, I mean, this all looks a bit twee and gimmicky to me.
Look, it's great. It is great, but... I guess my only real major problem with the game is if you do pick two factions that do similar things like I did. I picked the Tricksters and the Wizards. They're both kind of utility factions that, like, they'll get you more cards or they'll stop other people doing things, but they won't necessarily get your point.
Yeah, you were a very tricksy little hobbit, but you didn't have much attacking power.
I had a card of, like, 12 cards in my hand at one point, but I wasn't getting anywhere from that.
Yeah, so. And I think that's part of the sort of the fun of the game is each of the factions has a specialty.
Yes.
Like the pirate specialty was they can move around from base to base. So you have four bases out, and when a base fills up to a certain number of points and the minions have points on them, then that base breaks and you score. First, second and third get points.
Right.
So one of the things about the pirates was they could move from base to base because they've got boats. One of the things about dinosaurs where they're just big mofos that had lots of power to come in and stomp all over the basin. That's really all they did.
Yeah, but not renowned for their boat building ability.
No,
so I can see the benefits. Look, any good?
Look, it was one I've wanted to give a try. I'm glad I tried it. It's got a bit of replayability because I think the base game comes with about 10 factions, so there's a lot of mixing. Mm. And then there's the super awesome 9000 expansion, and there's the obligatory Cthulhu expansion.
Yeah, all right.
Adds more decks. I mean, yeah. Look, I think once you get to know it, you will get to know, okay, that deck and that deck, bang, they're a killer. And that might take a bit out of it. But yeah, there's a few plays in it. I had a bit of fun. Okay. Niall?
Yeah, look, it is. It's got a certain element of tweeness about it, to be fair. And it is just, it's a little bit Ameritrash, just a little bit.
Oh, I don't know. It's quite Ameritrash.
It's quite Ameritrash, really. But it is a lot of fun, and it does have enough there that you can make plans. You are throwing down combinations, or you are doing things that work. Yeah. So it's not all just here's a few bad cards and here's amazing power cards. It's a good mix and it's a good balance.
Yeah, it's good 60 to 90 minutes. What about you, yeah, Trent? What have you been up to?
Played a game called Takinoko. Well, look, it's part of this ongoing, you know, the Western fascination with everything Japanese.
Apologies to our Japanese listeners.
Yeah, what it's turned up is a game that tries to make gardening interesting. And this is, okay, so the story with this is that centuries ago, the Chinese emperor gave, thank you, a panda to the Japanese imperial court as a symbol of the ongoing love and peace and trust between those two countries.
And they had a panda barbecue?
It worked out really, really well, didn't it, perhaps? Yeah. So you're in charge of looking after this bloody panda, and you've got to look after the garden that grows the bamboo that the friggin' thing eats.
You must babysit the panda.
Apologies to our Chinese and Japanese listeners.
What it actually means is you've got hexagonal garden plots of various colours, growing bamboo of different colours, and you've got to irrigate these hexes to grow the bamboo. Meanwhile, the panda's eating all the bamboo. Sometimes you want that, sometimes you don't. You get a bunch of goal cards to arrange the gardens in a certain way, mm, or eat X amount of bamboo or grow certain colours of bamboo. Two actions per round. Take a choice out of five possible actions, depending on what the weather dice tells you.
Yeah, the weather.
It's Antoine Bowser. We've talked about him before. The Belgian designer who seems to be a bit cuckoo for Japan.
Yeah.
Because this and Tokaido.
They did Tokaido as well, didn't
they?
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And look, this is it's very basic. It's fast. It's light. Yeah. It's a family thing. I crushed this. I just chewed it up and spat it out. Not really enough ways to hurt other people for my particular taste.
And I did see, everyone was really curious. They brought out I don't know if you call it a collector's edition or a special edition. Multi-hundred-dollar edition where it's got a big panda and a big ceramic garden.
The game
and like
does
big pieces of bamboo.
It looks really nice because you get the bamboo that all stacks together and stuff. And there is the special collector's version. If you've got a spare $1,000 lying around and you really want to grow life-size bamboo in a game and have a giant ceramic panda,
you have to breed your own panda.
Perhaps that's in some kind of expansion. Perhaps we'll get to that. Speaking of breeding with pandas, we'll talk about Niall and his upcoming adventures in Canberra.
I don't know what you're talking about.
A little bit more detail up shortly here on the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Stick around
with Adams for Peace. Adams for Peace, before your very eyes, ears, nose and throat, who cares? Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh, talking tabletop gaming with Trent, Mark, and special guest Niall, if that is really your name.
It's not been proven.
And Niall's been a special guest of the Hobart Gaming Society and a part of its committee for the last year plus, after appearing out of nowhere, and he is about to disappear into said nowhere.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd get him on here just to say goodbye and pat him on the back and say, good on you, Niall.
Goodbye, Niall.
Yeah, it's kind of a celebration of me leaving, which really sends mixed messages, I've got to say.
Not for us. So when you first rocked into the Hobart Gaming Society and first came along to a meeting, you don't think, because you're a Northwest Coast boy. Originally.
Yeah, originally I'm from Stanley way and Northwest Coast of Tassie. Mm. I originally came down here for college.
You're the second nut I've met from Stanley.
Hey!
I'm rolling my eyes. But what had happened is I'd come down here for college, I'd travel around a bit. When I'd gotten myself settled down with a job, I was like, right, what now?
Social life. Yeah.
Because I admittedly, like, I knew a few people and I had, like, the inklings of a social life, but it was really kind of finding out for the first time what was in Hobart.
And where the chicks go, which is, of course,
the Hobart Gaming Society. Yeah.
Don't laugh that much. You know, there are
Yeah, I don't believe it hurt you any at all. Being new and from out of town.
No, it didn't. Not at all. Because the way I found out about Hogs is I went to Area 52, one of the local stores that sells board games, and they just forwarded me straight on. I told them that I was interested in board games, that I'd seen a bit of it about online. I think I originally picked up board gaming on my radar from Shut Up and Sit Down through Penny Arcade TV. And then I wanted to know more.
Tell me, how hard is it growing up nerdy in the northwest coast of Tasmania?
Look, it's really difficult when you don't have the internet.
Mm.
And when you do have the internet, you realise that because you're on the northwest coast of Tasmania and you don't have the internet, I mean, when you do get the internet, it's dial-up until you're about 16, which for me was six years ago.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's so difficult to find people, to meet people, and even when you meet people, like, you're in the general sphere of nerdiness, but you may not even share any specific interests, as I'm sure other nerds can attest to, because it's just such a large spectrum.
There's
and
a lot
been.
Of demarcation lines.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, speaking of nerdiness, Niall, you have been involved in the production of a Minecraft-based podcast,
not
YouTube
really
video.
Any of those, the last one, maybe, yeah. I am part of the Nox Crew. You can check us out at youtube.com/NoxCrewPresents. Free plug there. Thank you, Mark. And we just make Minecraft videos, but we're kind of good at it.
Yeah.
Which is a major selling point in terms of Minecraft. Okay,
It's only a matter of time before there is a Minecraft board game. It's only a matter of
time.
Yeah,
well, look at Angry Birds.
If there isn't already. But the creative Minecraft, Marcus Persson, I think he's a little bit more design-minded, and I don't think he's just going to rush to get some cheap, gimmicky
bits of wood and a catapult.
Yeah. He's going to... It's a sandbox game, so there's no comparison. I mean, how can you create a sandbox board game without literally having dirt and sand?
Well, you'll be fighting off creepers, probably, and there'll be, you know, you'll be trying to start some kind of farm.
I don't want to think about it. I don't know if
that was a 747 going over my head.
I don't know if that's going to ruin Minecraft or board gaming for me, but... Yeah,
my 7-year-old's all over Minecraft.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's great. It's great. It's an expression of creativity.
So we've talked briefly about some of the sort of social awkwardness barriers to entering a group like Hogs the first time. One of the other barriers we've talked about to the board gaming hobby for people is learning rules.
Yes,
and
that is the huge one.
You know, you've got to sit down and take some kind of English exam before actually getting down to playing some fun, rather than just throwing yourself in and relaxing and chatting with friends.
I mean, the first time I came to Hogs, it was fantastic because everyone was so welcome and friendly, and I hadn't found that yet in many other social groups in Hobart. Which is not to say that they're not there. It's just Hogs was different.
Well, I put it to you, Niall, that you are the worst person, the worst rule explainer, the worst person to teach a game that I have ever, ever met. How do you feel about that?
I wish you would have told me earlier.
Let me come in here to defence, Niall.
Yes,
I think in your defence, you don't understand
the rules of the game.
But what I find when playing a game with you, Niall, is you're passionate about the fun and the experience.
Yes.
And it's like you're already living into the fun that everyone's going to have when you start explaining the game.
Yeah.
That it just sort of bubbles out of you and comes out of control, and it becomes a sort of a shapeless morass of
rules. If it's your first time playing a game, I want somebody to experience the game itself. I don't want... I mean, sure, maybe we might bend a rule or two or get something wrong, but if you get that energy, if you get that...
You tried to teach me how to play City of Iron, okay, which is that hideously complicated Kickstarter that you got your hands on. Weird-ass steampunk theme.
I don't remember anything from Winter. I was sleep-deprived.
I have no idea still, to this day, what was going... It went from City of Iron to City of Irony very, very fast. Yeah,
you were sleep-deprived too, in my defence.
That is true.
Yes, thank you.
And let's not even...
Blanket excuse,
Let's
everyone.
Not even talk about your attempt to teach us Space Cadets.
Okay, yeah, no, Space Cadets was a little bit bad, but Space Cadets is a brilliant game. We'll be talking about it later on.
Look, Space Cadets is this game where you get two teams of players together at the table. manning their own spaceships and firing torpedoes.
Wait, no, hang on.
You've jumped the shark there to Space Cadets Dice Duel.
Oh.
Remember, there's Space Cadets and Space Cadets Dice Duel.
Two separate games.
That's the thing we're going to talk about after the break.
Okay, well, let's have a chat about that. It's one of our favourite new games for 2014, and we'll be chatting about it next on the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. I was just totally, totally doing my best metal face.
I was going to say, I think it's the Dice Men with Mark and Lars.
Oh, that was your metal face.
Balance and composure, reflection, not really metal, but, you know, close enough. And it brings us to this point in the Dice Men Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Trent, Mark, and special guest Niall. Last week, Mark, you nominated Space Cadets Dice Duel as one of the games you most wanted to play in 2014.
Yeah, that's right, because I hadn't tried it, and then you pulled out the surprise that you actually owned it.
So we got round to playing that, but just to confuse the issue, this is kind of the follow-up to another game just called Space Cadets.
Yeah, that's right. So Space Cadets came in 2012 by the design team of Jeff, Brian, and Sydney Engelstein.
Now,
Jeff
Family design team.
Yeah, Jeff Engelstein was a long-time contributor, and still is, I think, to the Dice Tower podcast, and a sort of a brain box type guy. And his kids, Jeff and Sydney, and they came up with this game which plays 3-6 player and is sort of like a series of mini games.
So it's the bridge of the USS Enterprise. That's the take home that's the elevator pitch.
Yep.
Yeah. And Niall picked himself up this game, tried to teach it to us last year.
Okay, you know
and
what?
You were shit house at it.
Before this becomes the Trent sells Niall up the river for a song show.
It's true, though.
It's not.
Nobody had any idea what was going on in that game.
We played it at like 9 o'clock at night. At Winter Games Fest.
That's the third annual Winter Games Fest.
At the third annual, thank you very much, the third annual. And we were exhausted at that point, so it was not the best time to bring it out, but I just got it the day before, and I couldn't resist forcing it upon you.
Right, so what you're saying is that you were underprepared, but went ahead anyway.
Much like what happens on the Bridge of the Enterprise.
Much like what happens on this show.
Yeah. So it's so fun.
So Space Cadets, you're playing against... What are you playing against?
Well, you're not really playing against anything.
Against the game.
Against the game. You've got missions. It's a cooperative game. So you all have your own little station or stations, depending on how many people are playing and who's doing what. And you've got different jobs that you have to do. So one person is going to be weapons, and they're going to be loading torpedoes into a tube and then firing them off as long as they don't get them jammed. One person's going to be shields. One person's going to be sensors. And sensors is fantastic, by the way. It's so thematic. You get cards that tell you you've got to get a tetromino or a pentomino or whatever, just, you know, the square shapes
you
see in Tetris.
Oh, you have to stick your hand in the bag.
You've got to stick your hand
that.
In the bag without looking and then pull out the shape and hope that it's the right
shape
that matches.
And you've got to build the square to get the shields up. Is that right?
No, the shields is where you've got to make poker hands out of little numbers.
Oh.
And then, it's only confusing to you because...
Because you tried to teach me.
Yes.
Oh, and the weapons was the flicking.
Weapons, the flicking one. You actually have a little disc and you flick it, which me and Trent have different opinions about. I think that's fine and it adds suspense and tension to the game. Trent just dismisses it because it's flicking.
The one thing about it, though, it was very clever in that it's lots of mini-games.
Yeah.
So it's not like a co-op game where one guy goes, now, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, oh, we win the game.
Yeah.
You're all doing your own thing. That's right. You're all doing your own thing. And, in fact, you can't do that because you're focusing frenetically on your own little mini-game.
Everyone plays the mini-game simultaneously.
Yeah.
So you've got 30 seconds, timer starts, everyone just like heads down looking at their own thing, just kind of scrambling and panicking. And
there's a captain overseeing the whole thing trying to complete the mission.
Yeah, whose entire job is just to be drinking and telling people what to do.
And what I love that part because it was actually, I remember listening to Jeffrey Engelstein talking about the design process, that what they wanted to set out to was a cooperative game where that alpha gamer couldn't exist, and they absolutely managed to do that. You know, hats off to them.
But what's happened here with Space Cadets? Have they realised they've got a good idea, but they implemented it badly, and so they've brought out a new game, Space Cadets Dice Duel? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was trying to compress the time,
yep,
trying to compress the rules explanation, and then then making it, they knew they could get more people into it by making it competitive where it's team against team.
So again, just to explain, this is an entirely separate game. You don't have to buy one and then the other.
No.
So Space Cadets Dice Duel is standalone, and this is the team versus team version of the same, and it introduces more dice.
So 2013, Sydney and Jeff, Sydney the daughter, Jeff the dad, came out with Space Cadets Dice Duel, which plays 4 to 8 players. Brian, at this stage, having successfully designed this and another game whose name escapes me, has gone off to college and done other stuff, and apparently he's doing some work with Fantasy Flight, doing some design work.
The Ares Project.
That's the one. Well done.
That was the other game.
Yeah.
So you've got a helm, you've got weapons, you've got sensors, shields, and you've got tractor beam. Each one of these stations has a little card in front of you. It's assigned a number on a dice. Engineering is where it all happens. Engineering's got, like, I think it was 5 dice.
You can't have enough dice, Captain!
Normal white pip dice, and you're rolling those, and then when you roll a certain number that's that matches up with one of those positions on the deck, you've got to give them that dice.
Yep.
That player then gets to roll as many of their own dice, and these are specialty tailored dice with all sorts of special symbols and stuff, but only as many dice as they've been handed by engineering. Roll those, eventually get what you want, lock them in, and then give the dice back to engineering to re-roll to cycle more energy around the spaceship.
It's like engineering is funneling energy through these dice to the different stations in order to power up certain things, but if they...
And we're not talking metaphorically, no, this is literally.
This is literally what's happening. You're rolling dice and you're just frantically rolling dice because everything happens in real time.
So I want to fire a torpedo at you, so I need to build the torpedo and actually load it, and I need 3-4 dice for that?
On the weapons dice, there are torpedoes. There's a torpedo head side, there's a torpedo body side, there's a torpedo fin side, and you've got to put them all together in a line, and you've got to be re-rolling and re-rolling these dice to get that right side. Assemble the torpedo on the correct side of the ship and then fire it.
And all this is going on simultaneously, so the two teams are actually flying their ships, rolling dice simultaneously. Now, what this basically turns into...
A scream fest?
..is the noisiest game I've ever played. Yeah. We had a bunch of guys at the table next to us. They picked up their table and left the room.
Yes. And they weren't even playing a small game. They were playing Rex.
Right,
so you know when you pick up your table with Rex on it and you physically move Rex to get the spin-off game from Twilight Imperium,
that's out
of the room.
Big Fantasy Flight game.
You need to have
parts.
Good forearm strength alone. Yeah.
So how do you win the game, Space Cadets Dice Duel?
By betting the other team.
Destroy the other ship,
Fire enough torpedoes at them,
And I remember, the classic thing I remember, I was on shields, as I think you were at one stage, the opposition shields team, is I'm madly loading up the front of the ship because we're pointing at the ship. And then, so I'm, you know, head down, bum up, trying to build up the shields in the front of the ship. But beside me, the helmsman decides to turn the ship around and point our backside towards the other ship. So, of course, when they fire... We have no shields on, and you know, that real time aspect of it was just brilliant. It was it was hilarious, and you just end up screaming at each other.
One thing I will say about this, though, it's ripe for cheating, don't you think? Because the rules state that you've got to roll the dice that you want, and that once it's locked in, you can't then remove them from the board and re-roll them until they're sort of used up.
Everything relies on players like just. Self-regulating.
Well, not only that, I actually think that maybe one of the roles on... Because it plays up to 8, so you've got 4 people on each team, but I reckon you could easily fit 5 onto each team and actually give somebody the job of monitoring the other team, which is a completely legitimate strategy in it, to make sure that they're not cheating.
The ambassador, perhaps. The emissary.
Okay.
But hang on, you're fighting to blow up each other's ship, so essentially the ambassador would be going on a suicide trip to spy on the other team.
Well, maybe we call it a spy or something. You're just monitoring what's going on.
Not a spy, a zealot. A zealot, at worst.
A spy with an escape pod.
No.
Hopefully we're going to get another game of Space Cadets Dice Duel under our belt tonight, after the show. That's what I'm hoping, anyway. That's what I'm pushing for. My favourite new game of 2014.
What
is it? 6-7 days into.
Oh, it's going to be my favourite for. Well, I don't know when I'm going to get to play it again now. Oh no! But I've got Space Cadets. I'm probably going to get Space Cadets Dice Duel because it's just good. You don't have that sort of energy. I've never seen that energy picked up at a table before. Dice Duel.
You're with Trent, Mark and Niall on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, talking tabletop games on The Dice Man Cometh, and we're going to be talking teaching your kids games in a moment or two. Speaking of space, here's Warning Rule Robinson, Tassie Lads with Telephone.
See you soon.
That was Warning Will Robinson with Telephone, a great Tassie act. You're with the Dice Men Cometh here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. And we have Niall here with us. Niall, I don't know if you can take part in this next conversation because we're going to talk about gaming with kids.
You are
a kid yourself, aren't you?
Well, no. I mean, technically, I am legal by all accounts. I am over 18.
But you're a child at heart. I mean, everyone knows if you go to play Time's Up with Niall, it's only a matter of time before Niall comes up with a hip-thrusting clue.
But it's not... The hip thrusts enhance the clue, and you understand what I mean because of the hip thrust.
It's the emphasis on the hip thrust.
I don't even hip thrust.
Let's try and elevate the conversation just a little bit, because I wanted to talk specifically about my own experience, because my seven-year-old daughter has spotted my chess set on the shelf, pulled it down and said, "Daddy, can you teach me how to play this?"
And you said, "No, I'm sorry."
Well, what could I do? I was just pleased that she was showing an interest in something, you know, that, I mean, obviously she sees Daddy playing stupid board games, and she's decided to try one out for herself. So I've taught her all the moves. She's picked all that up quite quickly. I mean, she's only seven, though. I mean, is that too early to be teaching a kid chess?
Yeah, look, I don't know about chess. I know, like, from my experience, my kids now are 12 and 16. We started, because I was a gamer, you know, we started probably at 5 and 6 with very simple games.
Okay. Yeah.
There's a particular company called Game Right, and I know they make a lot of little card games, which are great for little kids. One even, I remember, called Hiss, where you just got... The cards are basically pieces of a rainbow-coloured snake, and you've got the odd head and tail, and everything else is the body. You're making these rainbow-coloured snakes. It's really simple.
Yeah, well,
we've
played Hey, That's My Penguin.
Yeah.
What's that?
Isn't that Hey, That's My Fish?
Oh, that's right.
Where you play as penguins.
His version's got big-ass fish. Fish that eat the penguins.
And make a fool of you on your own radio show.
No, that's fine.
What are we talking about? I love doing that. Can I come back next week?
We've also played Small World. Which he actually picked up well. Eruption, which is the game where there's an erupting volcano and you've got to direct the lava into your opponent's village. Loved that.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, this is the
Daddy,
thing with
I'm
those games.
I'm going to burn your people.
That's right. What's the thing about those games?
They're all games with relatively simple rule sets. Like, if you can explain the basic... I think Small Worlds is pretty... Like, no, they're basic core mechanics that are really easy to understand. Yeah.
No, I'm just laughing because the other game that we actually played with her, and we've played it a couple of times, and she really likes it.
Twilight Struggle?
City of Horror. Oh. Which, to explain, is a game about a zombie apocalypse where every player has two or three survivors each, and they're in various locations, and if you get surrounded by enough zombies, you have to vote someone
to get eaten,
to get thrown to the zombies as a distraction to save the other two. So of course this is great, you know. she gets to vote for Daddy to get fed to the zombies. She loved this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But again, look, relatively simple rule set. Yeah. It's just a lot of arguing, really.
Yeah.
And I think it's more about the level of the complexity of the rules that will dictate whether or not you could be teaching your kid this game, because, you know, as they get older, they're going to be able to understand more complex concepts, but also have a better understanding of cause and effect. So understanding what's going to happen if they do take an action.
Well, I actually think it's also important to learn how to lose.
Yes,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so she's still at that stage where she just wants to win everything. And learning how to lose in life as, you know, the weight of the world crushes your spirit as you continue out of puberty and into middle age and eventually death.
You're very cynical.
You know, it's
and that's coming from me.
It's an important skill to master.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've mastered it, clearly. But I know, look, for me, what works with kids also works with real people. So in terms of, like, the gateway games, so I know one of the first sort of gamery games that I introduced my kids to was Carcassonne, the base level, not with 1,000,000,000 expansions and the catapult and the shark jumping and all that stuff. The base set of Carcassonne, you know, it works really well as a two-player game.
And
it works really well.
She likes playing that on my iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Ticket to Ride, the same thing. You play it with two people. It's really quite simple. It's one of those games where there's only three rules you have to remember. And, you know, like when we teach adults these games, they go, oh my God, this is so much better than Monopoly, and then they're ready to go to the next level of complexity.
All right, well, look, I've just got two questions, okay? So, one, do I kick her butt at this game, or do I let her win? Or do I play slowly and explain every single thing? What do I actually do here?
Ooh, that's it.
Or do I play to the best of my ability and crush her? Or
I think you have to let her win at first,
yeah,
and then you have to show her that, okay, this is, you know, we're playing at a really basic level. Then, look, there are things like this you can do. Bang, bang, bang. Oh, did you see what happened there? And maybe you don't play to the end of the game and wipe the table with her, but you take her step by step from, you know, where it's fun and she always wins to where it starts to really become a battle of wills.
And then it gets to that point where you start to realise you may no longer have control over whether or not you will win or lose.
And the second question, very quickly, do I want my little girl to join the chess club? Am I at risk of turning her into a dork?
I don't know about that one. The last thing you want to do is turn her into a loser.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Hey, man, nice segue.
Just for you, Trent.
Oh, no, that was a terrible...
That was Beck with Loser, the story of Trent's life.
Oh, I'm still
You're here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh and our bonus Dice Man. We've rolled snake eyes for sure. It's Niall.
I am still reeling from that last segue. Oh.
So, look, it's almost time for us to get out of here. And, Niall, it's almost time for you to get out of Hobart. Thanks for being a part of the Hobart Game Society the past year plus, mate.
It has been an absolute pleasure. I would encourage anybody listening to check it out. Just go crazy, trash the place. I have no culpability, I'm leaving.
Okay, right. Well, we're going to be this Saturday in Rosny.
We are.
At now I always forget the name of the actual building.
It used to be where the Rosny Children's Choir used to meet there, yes, by the overpass.
I think it's still called the choir building.
Right, so come along and look, normally we say, you know, give us $5 for to help us sort of cover the cost of the hall, but if it's your first night, it's free.
Yeah,
it's
come along and say you've been listening to the Dice Men Cometh and you're busting to try out some of these games.
So you're moving to Canberra.
I am.
And of course, coming up, well, look, you might not be aware, but Canberra is a big, big gaming town. You've got the Canberra Gaming Society there, and they've got their... now, it's twice a year, so is that biannual or...?
Yeah, biannual.
CanCon on the Australia Day long weekend. 3 days of tabletop gaming, war gaming, board gaming.
Yeah, they've got
very
it all.
Very much looking forward
tournaments,
to
tournaments, open, yes, board game tournaments, World of Warcraft tournaments, Blood Bowl, the works, plus a huge board gaming library.
Yeah, look, it's hopefully going to be... I've never been. I'm really looking forward. I mean, I say hopefully, but I've heard so many good things about it that, yeah, I'm just raring to go.
Well, look, you know, Australia, we're not quite on the same level as the US as far as your big board game, you know, conventions go, but CanCon is probably one of the biggest.
We've got
a great
community, though, so that's fine. But I hear that you guys have a special guest for next week.
Well, yes, we'll actually be talking with one of the organisers, Terry, one of the brains behind CanCon, just to find out a little bit about how it all works next week on the show.
Do you think you can get him to give me like a free price?
You're paying your money.
Yeah, okay.
You've been listening to The Dice Men Cometh with Trent and Mark. Remember, you can check us out on facebook.com/ The Dice Men Cometh. You can listen to our old streaming episodes on the Edge Radio website and hear us again next week at 7 p.m. I've kept this special special song up my sleeve for you, Niall, because if there's any word I think that describes you,
oh no,
it's hyper. Here's Björk with Hyper Ballad.
That was worse than the last one.
Thanks for joining us, the Dice Man. We'll see you next week.
Bye.